radio@firehouse.com. Real issues, real answers, real firefighters.
Hi, this is Lieutenant Mike Wilbur from firehouse.com and Firehouse Magazine. Speaking on behalf of Firehouse Magazine and firehouse.com, I'd like to talk today about the 2009 Fire EMS Safety Week. And one of this year's focuses is to look at one of four themes, and the four themes are safety and emergency vehicle driving, enough is enough, and end the senseless deaths, along with health, survival, and chiefs be the leader in safety. I'd like to talk to you about some safe emergency vehicle driving. Enough is enough, and we really do need to end the senseless deaths. One of the first issues that we've had, particularly recently, that have just overwhelmed the industry, is that we have fire apparatus, T-boning fire apparatus at intersections. And we've had such occurrences, many of them in the last 6 months. St. Louis Fire Department last October. In November, the New York City Fire Department. Early this year, we had the Philadelphia Fire Department. And in one of the most horrific crashes in the Houston Fire Department, we had an engine and a ladder collide, and the ladder ended up on top of a civilian's car and on top of a bicyclist who was a young woman who was on her way to work, who was ultimately killed. In these apparatus-on-apparatus accidents, we've killed three civilians. We've killed two firefighters. One firefighter was killed in Waterbury, Connecticut, a captain, and another firefighter was killed a couple years ago in the state of Illinois. Racing into fire alarms does absolutely no one any good at all. You don't do any good if you don't get there. And this is something that safety officers and training officers alike can always hammer home. Many of us in this business are really looking for a cultural change. And in order to reduce the line of duty death rate and to make this Safety Week successful, we need to get that change. For years, it was lights and sirens and racing, and you want to speed and get there fast. Well, you just don't do any good if you don't get there at all. And so we need to slow down. We need to stop at red lights. Two of the aforementioned accidents involving fire trucks, striking fire trucks, were at intersections that were controlled by preemption. Those systems are there to help fire apparatus move through the intersection swiftly and safely by the fire apparatus having control of the light. But in the two crashes, one of the fire apparatus grabbed the preemption system before the other one, and the other one just blew through a red light and created havoc in the intersection and, like we said, caused deaths and serious injuries. Another problem that we've had, particularly in the last year or so since our last safety week, is fire apparatus that are continually rolling over. And when these fire apparatus roll over, there's a lack of use of seatbelts, and those inside these rolled-over apparatus quickly become propelled outside, suffering serious injuries, and in some cases, they're even killed. One thing to note, though, over the course of the last year, there have been a number of crashes and rollovers where there were actually seatbelt use, and I think nationally we can safely say that seatbelt use it has been up over the last year, or particularly two. One of the reasons certainly for that may be the national seatbelt pledge that's being carried on by Professor Burke Clark and we really applaud him for his work trying to get everybody to buckle up and stay within the confines of our cab. And one thing to note from a legal perspective is that the NFPA, the standard making group, is clear on this, that the driver, it's not the chief, it's not the officer, but the driver is responsible and cannot put the apparatus in any gear whatsoever until everybody on board is completely dressed and seated and belted and have their helmet securely fastened within the apparatus before we can leave to go on a run. If the driver violates that and a firefighter were to fall out of the rig, there is a chance and there is a court precedent set that that driver may actually be held not only civilly liable and be sued, but could also be held criminally liable as well. A third issue, and of course we talked about intersections and apparatus on apparatus, but we also have to talk about just apparatus interacting with civilian cars. Whether it's a stop sign, a red light, a yield sign, blinking red lights, we need to have people driving fire apparatus and all emergency vehicles come to a full and complete stop, look left, right, left, make sure that everybody in the intersection has come to a complete stop, just not that first car in line, because there may be cars 4 and 5 deep in a line of cars. That person has the stereo loud, the windows rolled up, they can't see you, they can't hear you, and then they go around into an unoccupied traffic range, such as turn lanes, rolled shoulders, and before you know it, they end up underneath you, and we have a tragedy in our midst. So you need to be able to stop, come to a complete stop at all negatively controlled intersections. And you should even be covering the brake. That's taking your foot off the accelerator and put it over the brake, not necessarily applying the brake, but just putting it over the brake and be at the ready. Even when you go to intersections with green lights, civilian drivers have just gone to a new level of inattentiveness, and you don't know what people are doing inside cars. Cell phones, text messages, reading are just some of the things that I've seen people do on the highways. And finally, the last point that we'd like to make here as part of the emergency vehicle driving safety week awareness is to check the apparatus. If you're in a volunteer department and not necessarily have a high degree of activity, a weekly check would certainly be adequate. In the career side of the house, where you have high activity units doing 3,000 and 4,000 and 5,000 runs a year, then certainly a daily check would be called for. But in any event, earlier this year, a fire lieutenant in the Boston Fire Department was killed when his apparatus lost its brakes, went down a hill, and plowed into a building wall where he was. The lieutenant was killed and the driver was seriously injured. And this is another annual problem that the fire service has. On one hand, fire trucks lead a fairly pampered life. They're in a heated barn. People tend to wash and wax them, particularly during this time of year when we're going out doing musters and parades and public appearances with the fire department. And they lead a pretty pampered life. But on the other hand, what's happening inside the truck? Who's taking care of the brakes, the steering components, the springs? Years ago, there was another bad apparatus wreck in Connecticut, in Waterbury, where two firefighters were killed. And after that wreck, the state of Connecticut solicited 83 cities, towns, and small villages to voluntarily bring their fire trucks for a state-sponsored inspection. Those trucks came to the inspectional area, and upwards of 33% of them had defects that were so egregious they could not leave the inspectional area. That's right. A full one-third of the trucks that were voluntarily inspected had defects that were so egregious that they could not leave the area. These included fuel leaks, bald tires, broken springs, worn steering boxes, and the like. Many of these, had the units been even checked by the fire departments themselves, many of these defects would have been found and they could have been fixed. So vehicle inspection is a very important part of a safe response, and I think that's what we're all after. And a safe response is one that we can all live with. Because if you get in an accident, nobody wins. The civilians don't win. The fire department doesn't win. The officers don't win. And you as the driver, you don't win at all. Thank you, and enjoy the rest of Safety Week.
If you have a comment on this program, drop us a line at radio@firehouse.com. Thanks for listening. And stay tuned to firehouse.com for more broadcasts like these. Or visit our website at www.firehouse.com/radio. We'll be right back.